Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. And it's September. And we've been looking forward to this month for a little while now, looking forward with anticipation and excitement, really quite full of expectancy of what this month is going to hold. Also, a bit of trepidation as well. Because we're convinced that this is going to be a significant month for us as a church and for us as individuals. Significant because we believe that God has been promising to work among us in a particular way at this time, and that what he's wanting to do is to set us free. Free from the things that are robbing us of faith and of hope, of joy and of strength, and that just stop us from living the life he's given us to the full and then sharing that life with others. Do you remember Jesus said, it's in John's Gospel, he said, that I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And in Galatians it says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Jesus' purpose and longing is for us to have fullness of life and to live free in him. And that is what we believe that this month is all about. And we're really hoping that you're up for it with us and that together we can discover more of what that's going to mean for each of us and for all of us together. Now, there are many different ways that you can be part of what's happening this month. Hopefully you've all been given a leaflet today. I think I've got one here. Got the title September Freedom. If you haven't, make sure that you pick one up at the back after the service, because in it you'll find information and ideas of the ways in which you can join in. And I really, really encourage you to take whatever opportunity you can and to be open to what God might be wanting to do in you and in us as a church. We haven't got it all pinned down or sewn up, but we are trusting that God knows what he's doing. And, you know, there's been some wonderful signs in the last week or so, even in the last few days, that he is already bringing freedom into people's lives in profound ways. It's taken us rather by surprise, hasn't it? And it's been fantastic to see. Funnily enough, God is way ahead of us. So be encouraged. And take courage, because I'm guessing that we're going to need some courage, because this is a time for honesty with ourselves and with God. At the beginning of the year, many of you, I think, will remember me sharing what we believe God was saying to us as a church for this year. And it came from that story of Jesus healing the man with the withered hand. And that sense that God was saying to us that we are a church with a withered hand, and he says, stretch out your hand. And in the stretching out, healing and freedom comes. If you want to listen again to what I said then, funny enough, you can find it on the new website or on the church Facebook page some way down anyway. But now we are coming to the stage this September of going deeper into this with God. And there's the opportunity to recognise honestly the ways in which we are withered, to be real about the dryness and the lifelessness that we see in ourselves and we experience as a church as well, and to acknowledge the things that are stopping us moving freely and living fully in Jesus. Because if we hide them, or we bury them away, or we try and ignore them, we will never be free. But if we stretch them out to God, there's the promise of hope and life and freedom. So over these next few weeks, through September, we're going to be focusing on different things that we may need freedom from. But most of all, we're wanting to be inviting God to speak to us and to actually bring the freedom we need. How's that sounding? Are you up for it? Okay, well, this morning we've just listened to two really very dramatic readings from the Bible, one from the Old Testament with the Valley of Dry Bones, and the other from the New Testament, which we actually had just a few weeks ago, about the raising of Lazarus. Apart from anything else, both of them show us very clearly and without doubt that God is the one who can bring life and freedom even when it seems totally impossible. And it's God in Jesus who we're looking to this morning. Otherwise, there is no point to what we're doing. He's the one that we need, and the power of his cross and his resurrection in our lives. And as I've been praying and thinking about this September time, I found myself thinking more and more about disappointment and the effects that disappointment can have on us. Now, I've no doubt that all of us here this morning have experienced disappointment in different ways. It might be disappointment in ourselves, you know, how we've behaved, something we've done or choices that we've made. It might be disappointment in each other, our friends or our family members. It might be with church leaders or other members of the church, people letting us down or worse, or just not meeting our hopes and expectations. Or it might ultimately be disappointment in God, promises that seem to have gone unfulfilled, awful things that have happened, or just dreams that have died. And I don't know about you, but for me, I know that when I experience disappointment, it can be like something inside me dies. And I often think about disappointment as a deadening thing, because I think that that's what it can so easily do to us, either little by little or sometimes suddenly and overwhelmingly. And what we can find is that hope and faith can ebb away or even shrivel up and die within us and leave us either unable or maybe unwilling or maybe just too afraid to risk hoping or trusting again. And maybe we even conclude that God does not love us or that God is not good or not for us anyway. And we shut something away inside us to protect ourselves from any future hurt or disappointment. And we stop living the life that God is offering us. And we stop being all that he's created us to be. And I think that it's this that God is particularly wanting to address this morning, here at the beginning of this month of freedom, that he's wanting to free us from the effects of disappointment and the fear of disappointment, and wanting to restore hope and faith and trust in him. In the Old Testament reading that Audrey read from Ezekiel, it said that the people of Israel were saying, "Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. But God said, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and you will know that I am the Lord." He is the Lord. He is our God who brings life and restores hope. So what I'd like to do now is just to spend a bit of time looking particularly at the second reading that Roy read to us and the events surrounding the raising of Lazarus, and just draw out a few things that I think could be helpful for us. You know, first of all, what we didn't hear this morning, because it's quite a long reading, what we didn't hear was what had happened just before the reading began. And that is that while Lazarus was ill and had not yet died, Mary and Martha sent a message to Jesus, presumably in the hope that he would come quickly and heal their brother. And Jesus intentionally delayed for 2 days before he went to them, in which time Lazarus died. Now, there's all sorts of reasons for that delay, which we're not going to go into now. But when at last he did get there, it looked like he was far too late. And it's not hard, I think, to hear the regret and disappointment in Martha's voice when she goes out to meet him and she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here." But he hadn't been there, and Lazarus had died. You know, is she angry? Is she feeling let down, distressed, disappointed? We've met Martha before in John's Gospel and know her to be, well, I think I describe her as a feisty woman, even outspoken, not at all afraid to take Jesus to task. And here she's wrestling with what's happened, with Jesus, with who he is and what that means, and with hope and hopelessness in the face of this awful thing that has happened. Her sister Mary is a very different kind of person who goes about life in a very different way. But when she gets to Jesus, she actually says exactly the same words as Martha. Did you notice that? Yeah, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And there's the same regret and disappointment, but it's expressed in a very different way. Because Martha, I'm guessing, was probably looking Jesus straight in the eye. But Mary falls at his feet, weeping, overwhelmed with sorrow. And here today, we're all very different kinds of people, and we go about life in different ways. But there's something here, I think, to encourage us and to help us. Something that says it's okay to express our disappointment, whatever that might look like for us. It is okay to be honestly angry, to lament, to weep. It's even good and right. But the vital thing is that we express it to God, not just to each other or hiding away from God, but to him. Now, it might be looking him straight in the eye like Martha, or it might be falling at his feet weeping like Mary. It might be hammering on his chest, which is like I experience it, like a tantruming toddler sometimes. Or it might be shouting at him from far off. However it is, it needs to be addressed to him. And it's just being real and honest with him about the hurt and the loss and the disappointment that we've experienced. It is not faithless to do that. Sometimes I think it is the most faithful thing that we can do, expressing to God exactly how we feel about what's happened. And we have the example of Mary and Martha right here, but they're not the only ones. There is no shortage of this kind of lamenting to God in the Bible. Loads of it in the Psalms. Just take a look. And then there's a whole book called Lamentations that's full of it. Even Jesus lamented on the cross, quoting Psalm 22 actually, saying, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But always it's expressed to God. And it may be that we need to give ourselves time and permission this September to lament, to express our anger, to weep, to kind of voice our complaint to God about our disappointments, about how hurt we felt, about how abandoned we felt, how let down we felt. And to get it out and offer it to him. Our own version of Mary and Martha's, "If you had been here." And we can know that as we do that, Jesus weeps with us and over us, as he did with Martha and with Mary. And at the same time, there is encouragement that through it, and sometimes only through it, fresh hope can come. With Martha, Jesus nurtured a seed of fresh hope in her heart when she said in the middle of her lament, "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." And the hope that came to her was stronger and greater and fuller than anything she had yet known. And you can find that pattern in many of the Psalms as well. So I think that this kind of lament really matters, and that lamenting to God is really biblical and can be really important as being a part of being set free from disappointments and the effect that disappointment has had on us in our lives. And if you need to do it, if you need to lament like that, not everyone will by any means, but I suspect that some here will. If you need to, I really encourage you to do it. Don't run away from it. Don't hide from it. But bring it out to God. And you know, if you'd like some support in doing that, then John or Marion or I would be more than happy to do that. Just ask us. You can find details in that leaflet of how to be in touch with us. Just urge you again, don't run away from it. But now, let's return to outside Lazarus' tomb, because there's something powerful there for us. If disappointment and the experiences we've had, again, both as individuals and as a church, have meant that hope or faith have withered and died in us. So after talking with Martha and Mary, Jesus walks to the tomb with them. And when he gets there, he says, "Take away the stone." Now, good old practical, forthright Martha says immediately, "But Lord, by this time there's a bad odour, for he's been there for 4 days. There's a significance actually to that 4 days that we might miss, in that in Jewish tradition, they believed that the person's spirit would remain close to the body for 3 days and then would leave for good. So the 4 days meant not only that he was dead, but that he was really dead. That by every reckoning, it was far too late. But with Jesus, it wasn't too late, and neither is it too late for us when hope and faith have withered and died in us. You know, we might think, but I've been like this for so long, felt so dry and so lifeless, so hopeless. You know, a bit like those bones in the valley in our Old Testament reading, very, very dry, like dust. And when God says, "Can these bones live?" we might be tempted to say, "No way, it's too late. It's far too late." But Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And just like that, he did. Life where there was no life, breath where there was no breath. The totally impossible made possible at the word of Jesus. And it's his word that we need to hear as well. Lazarus, come out. Church, come out. All saints, come out. Every one of us called by name to come out into life and into freedom and into hope. Lazarus, can you imagine what it was like for him? Actually, maybe it's just impossible to imagine what it was like for him. But out of the tomb he walked to everyone's utter astonishment, and his hands and his feet and his head are wrapped in strips of cloth. There is grave clothes. And Jesus says to them, and I love this, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Jesus had brought Lazarus back to life, but the people had a part to play in helping him to walk free and not stay stuck, wrapped around by the signs of death. They needed to unwrap those rather stinky grave clothes and take them off him and let him go. And I think that is a great image for us this September. And I know I'm not alone in thinking that, because I believe that Jesus is going to restore us to life and freedom in different ways. Actually, he's already doing it. But we have a part to play, not only in responding to him ourselves, but in helping each other to walk free, just like Lazarus, to help peel away the old stuff that's not needed anymore, and to support and to encourage each other in a life of freedom and faith in Jesus. And I guess maybe there's a little bit of a heads up there as well, that it might be a little messy and stinky, but it will be so, so worth it. Okay. I think that that is quite enough talking about all of this and talking about freedom, because we'd like to spend a bit of time now asking God and allowing God to actually do some work in us as his people here and bring some of that freedom into our lives. Is that okay? Yeah. John, do you want to come and join me? As you're sitting, let's pray and just focus our attention on Jesus, who is the one that we need. Lord Jesus, we look to you this morning, knowing that you are the only one who can bring us true freedom. Thank you for doing all that's needed for us to be free. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for your glorious resurrection. Thank you that you are the resurrection and the life, as you said to Martha. And so we come to you this morning, just as we are, as honestly as we can. And we ask you to set us free from the things that are holding us captive. We ask you to bring life where we are dried up and withered. We ask you to restore hope and faith within us. Show us where we need freedom. Show us where we've got just so used to simply existing rather than living in you. Show us what you want to do in us. And Lord, would you open our ears as well now to hear your words to us, words that bring life and freedom, and give us courage to respond to you. Lord Jesus, have your way among us, we pray. Amen. So now I invite you just to spend a few moments quietly with God, you know, maybe keeping your eyes closed, and think about how you've been affected by disappointment, or where you've lost hope or faith, or whatever it is that might be stirring up in you this morning. And give yourself permission to be honest with yourself and with God. Is there dryness in you? Have things robbed you of life and freedom? Maybe you're just ever so weary. Well, then tell him. Maybe if you're honest, you're not even sure he's there. Well, tell him. Maybe you're hurting and you're feeling let down. Tell him. Maybe you realize that you need to lament. Well, tell him. Well, maybe you just know that you've been losing hope and you don't even know why. Well, tell him. Whatever it might be, tell him in the quietness. In the valley of the dry bones, God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And I think he's asking us the same question this morning. Can these bones live? Can we be restored to new life? And as Ezekiel prophesied to the dry bones, I want to say to you here this morning, wonderful people of God, hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. Then you will know that I am the Lord. And so we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come, breath of God, bring life where we're dried up and withered. Breathe in us, breath of God, set us free. Restore our hope, restore our faith. Revive us, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, breath of God, come to us. Breathe in us. In the Valley of the Dry Bones, we're told that the bones came to life and stood up on their feet. Jesus told the man with the withered hand to stand up and to stretch out his hand. And if you think about it, Lazarus had to get to his feet and walk out of the tomb. So do you know what? I'm going to invite you to stand up now, if you can. To stand up. And at Lazarus's tomb, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. Now I wonder, can you hear him calling today? I've said it already, I can hear in church, come out, all saints, come out, using your name, calling you to come out of the tomb, to leave the place of lifelessness and hopelessness, and to live. Come out, people of God, come out into the light, come out into life, come out of the tomb. Come out. Maybe you don't just want to stand where you are. Maybe you want to come out, actually come out like Lazarus had done, walking down the kind of passageway out of the tomb. Then if you want to do that, come out, come to the front here and stand. We're not going to ask you to do anything else, but just stand. Remain standing where you are if you want to, but why not just walk forwards as a sign of walking into the freedom that God is offering. So if you want to come, just come. And we continue to pray, come Holy Spirit and work among us. Come have your way. We need you. We need your freedom in our lives. We need your freedom as a church. And just keep coming forward. Any point, just keep coming if you want to. Keep coming. And we continue to pray, Spirit of God, have your way among us. Have your way. You know what we need. Come, come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come. And as you continue to stand and continue to focus on Jesus, I'd like you to listen to something now. You know, it struck me so forcibly that in the tomb with Lazarus, there would have been no sound at all. until the voice of Jesus called him into life. And then the first sound that he would have heard, what there would have been a heartbeat. And then another, and then another. And I've just kept hearing that heartbeat as I've prepared for this morning. So I invite you to listen as John just drums a heartbeat for us. And it's the heartbeat of life, the heartbeat of freedom and of hope restored. And it's also the heartbeat of God, full of love. Heartbeat of his love for you and for me. So just listen for a few moments to that sign of life and love and hope. And again, Holy Spirit, we invite you to continue to work among us. And there are just a few things that we feel that God wants to say to some of you. So I'm just going to share them with you. Receive what's for you, ignore what isn't, but keep focusing on Jesus, listening to him, knowing that that heartbeat of life and love beats for you and in you. So we think God is saying, I am the Lord your God. I have called you by name. You are mine. You are mine. I do love you. I always have, and I always will. And then I think someone just needs to hear God say to them, I am not disappointed in you. I'm not disappointed in you. You are precious to me. You matter to me. You are beautiful and I love you. I have wept over you and I have wept with you even when you didn't know I was there. I know your pain. I have seen you in the night, and I am there for you. There is hope. Yes, even for you, there is hope. And it is not too late. And then I think he's saying to somebody, you do not know me, but I know you, and I want to share my life with you. And then this one's a bit of a surprise, but maybe it's for somebody. I think Jesus is saying to you, will you dance with me? Will you dance with me? So, Lord, I pray that if anything of that is from you, it would be received by those who it's intended for, and otherwise just blow it away. But more than anything, Lord, we pray again that you would breathe your life in us, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work in us and set us free. Come, breath of life. Come and we thank you. Thank you for all that you've won for us and all that you're doing for us. Amen. Amen.